day.
We're going to start here and then work our way to the tables here in just a moment. But we're going to start talking about features of Canaan. So you picked up one of those sheets. We're going to start here in just a second with that. Ken, can you lead us in a prayer as we start?
Our great and holy God, we come before you this evening, thankful that you have looked down upon each one of us, watched over us, and blessed us the way you have this day. As we're gathered here tonight, we pray that you would be with each of us, and we might strive to learn to apply the things that we've learned to our life. We might be better servants of yours, that we might know you better, that we might understand more from your word. We pray, Father, that you would help us to use those things that bring that would bring praise and honor to your name as we go about our day-to-day lives. Be with all the classes tonight, and please keep each one of us in your care throughout each day. Look down upon those that are on our prayer list and care for them. Be with those who are not able to be here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So we've been emphasizing the idea that the geographic landscape impacts what's happening and what's taking place with the people in the Old Testament. And we're working our way more or less chronologically in the Old Testament. So what were the most recent geographic characters that factored into Egypt, the Exodus, Sinai, the movement toward Canaan, etc.? What were the geographic features that impacted the narrative? Red Sea. They get out of Egypt and the Red Sea. At first, Israelites think they're trapped, but the Red Sea is used by God to actually deliver them and crush the army of Pharaoh. The wilderness, which was used as a punishment for the Israelites. And so that's what we saw working there. Now, so they're coming now to Canaan after the 40 years in the wilderness, and we're just, you know, the narrative here, we're sort of assuming you understand what's taking place. Moses has led them to the edge of the promised land, and then Joshua brings them in. So we're going to spend some time, a lot of time on just this strip of land right here for a long time, especially the next 2 weeks, really focusing closely on it. You know, Egypt and Africa is down here. What we call Asia is up in here. The modern Middle East is all right here. But the focus in the Old Testament, from this point onward, is really, really tight on this strip of land that is called in the Old Testament Canaan. And in the New Testament, the Romans called it Palestine. And that's what we tend to call it. And these are actually some of the things we talked about 3 years ago. I know that's fresh on your memory. When we talked about New Testament geography, and we went over the same features. But that was 3 years ago. The features have not changed. The features in the Old Testament are also the features in the New Testament, but it's good to have this reminder. So I'm going to go over these features of Canaan going from west to east, or on the map left to right. And I would encourage you to label your map accordingly. And we're going to talk about how that these factor in. So these are the places, and I'm going to show you here on the map where you can label the map there to work with. So the Mediterranean Sea borders the western side of Canaan. It was the sea in the Old Testament. People were not traveling across the Pacific and the Atlantic. They're just starting to probe across the Indian Ocean. And so the Mediterranean Sea is really the gateway to everything that's to the west. And then you have this area right here called the coastal plain. And it's really made up of two plains. By plain, we mean what? It's flat area. It may roll a little bit, but generally it's flat. There was actually a plain right here specifically called the Plain of Sharon. Remember the old song, Rose of Sharon, Jesus, Rose of Sharon. And then there was an area right here called the Plain of Philistia. And this is, of course, where the Philistines lived down in this area right here. And so this coastal plain was significant for a couple of reasons. It's the area where the Philistines are very powerful for a long time. And they're going to be a thorn in the flesh, in the neck, pain in the side, however you want to put it, to the Israelites for a long time. Also, this was the north-south superhighway. We've emphasized how that Canaan is this unique land bridge between Europe, Asia, and Africa. And so if you're moving a caravan of goods, or you're moving an army, or you're just traveling in a small band, and if you came from Asia or around from Europe this way, and you're headed down toward Egypt or somewhere in Kush or Ethiopia, then you would come down this coastal plain right here, because it was the natural area, flat and easy to maneuver. And so think about it. Armies will use this. And we studied in the prophets, when the Assyrians pushed down into Israel, this is the way they made their launch toward Jerusalem. Okay. Right here is Mount Carmel. You can see here, it's just this little, almost like an isthmus that sticks out in the Mediterranean. It dramatically rises up from the sea. It's like a giant bluff from the sea. It reaches 1,790 feet. And so it really jumps up quite dramatically there, 1,700 feet, almost 1,800. It's actually a ridge that's 30 miles. So it's a pretty big area, and that's why it shows up on our maps. Maps only capture the big things. And since it's right there on the coast, you would expect that it catches what on a regular basis? Rain. Really does. And a lot of dew as well. And in biblical times, there's evidence it had forests. It doesn't have forests today. This part of the world does not have forests. They were wiped out a long time ago. But the fact that it's a 30-mile ridge, almost 1,800 feet high, right there in the ocean, it's just a platform for a dramatic event, isn't it? Is there a dramatic event that takes place there? What is it in the Old Testament? Elijah versus the prophets of Baal, in the dramatic contest about the altars and the fire coming down and those kinds of things. And also, this contest at Mount Carmel, which was showing Israel that God is God and the prophets of Baal are representatives of no God at all. This was taking place at the end of a drought that was a punishment on Israel. Do you recall what happens after the contest at Mount Carmel and Elijah slays the prophets of Baal and all that? He looks out on the sea and sees what? A little cloud coming, like your fist. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that was a rain that was coming in and would relieve the drought. And so it makes perfect sense there how God is using in that incident all those natural factors there. We know that God can do things supernaturally. He does it at the Red Sea. He does it in the Nile River, which is another character we saw last week. But oftentimes God uses natural processes too. That's completely normal, and that's what takes place here, although it's God-induced. And then you've got this area here, and I know this is very hard to draw. These mountains are very complicated, and Les is very envious of this right here. It's so artistic. But it's a good idea to make those upside-down Vs to indicate that this is the central highlands area. They rise up to 3,000 feet, so you can imagine mountains close to what we have around here. Some higher, some a little lower, some a little higher. And we see both in the Old Testament and Jews in the New Testament, a lot of them live there. And this is sometimes called the Judean hill country or the hill country. You may recall in Luke chapter 2, when Mary finds out she's going to have the baby, she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, who also in her aged years, Mary's a virgin and Elizabeth is a barren older lady, she's going to have a baby. It says in Luke chapter 2 that she went to the hill country, to the house of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth and Zechariah, John the Baptist's family, lived in the hill country of Judea. And so this is what this is. I can say this. They were hillbillies. And they were able to live there in large numbers because they did terrace farming. What's terrace farming? Stages, because you have a flat area, you can work the land. Now, my ancestors never figured out how to do that. My hillbilly ancestors. They just grew that corn on the side of the hill. But the terrace farming is really productive. You can work the crops a whole lot easier. They also catch water and hold water better instead of just all running off. And so these are not the only people who do terrace farming. Terrace farming is all over the globe in ancient times. But they're really good at that. And it had a ridge. There were some ridge routes where you could travel along a ridge. It's like around here, there are some places that you get up on a ridge and you can travel. And it runs the spine of the mountain. And so they had a lot of routes like that. For instance, when Jesus went in the New Testament from Galilee up in here down to Jerusalem, he would usually go on the ridge route through the mountains. And so that's the Central Highlands that we'll factor in here, and we'll look at this more and more. And then there is this break in the mountains. You see this break? That's on purpose. This is flat. This is another plain, and this is the plain of Megiddo, also called the Jezreel Valley. Now, what do you expect to happen in a valley? Okay, wide open area, battles are going to take place there. This is the area that's referenced in the book of Revelation as the Armageddon, okay, Armageddo. This is a place where a lot of key battles took place in the Old Testament, okay? What else would be taking place there on a more regular basis, you think? Farming, yes, farm. Okay, we'll come to that in a second. Farming. Actually, the soil was very rich in this Megiddo Valley or Jezreel Valley or Plain of Megiddo. It would wash off the mountains. It was very fertile soil. And this was a passageway. Because of Mount Carmel, this gets a little hilly. And so we've talked about how that this was a super highway through here. Well, the way they went north and south is that they cut through the Valley of Jezreel and either across the Jordan and up or along the Sea of Galilee. So this was also an east-west highway, so to speak, for north-south travel. And you may think that sounds crazy, but I-26 is supposed to be going east and west, but through Asheville it goes north and south. But it's an I-26, and all even-number interstates go east-west, right? And so to go east-west on I-26, at one spot, you go north and south. Well, same thing here. To go north and south, you have to go east and west, and then up this way, or if you're coming down, and you cut over and go down this way. So there's a lot of movement of people. There's a lot of agriculture and big events like battles that take place there. It's a crossroads. And just run that in the whole biblical scope of things. We'll come back to this next week. This is in the middle of Israel, the northern kingdom. Israel, the northern kingdom, when they divide, is more connected to international movement. And this is also, what's at the northern part of this plain in the New Testament? A little famous little village, Nazareth. Jesus grew up in an area of commoners, but he grew up in an area that was adjacent to a lot of movement. I think we covered that 3 years ago, too. So, and then we got the Sea of Galilee. This sea up here at the top, actually probably its earliest name is Chinnereth. And then later on is sometimes referred to as the Lake of Gennesaret. And in New Testament times called the Lake of Tiberias, for obvious reasons, the Romans. But this area right up in here is referred to as Galilee in the Old Testament. There are several things that are referenced in the Old Testament and references this region as Galilee. Galilee is not a town, it's not a country, it's not a nation state. It is a region, and so that's why most geographers now, Bible geographers, just call this the Sea of Galilee because it keeps it simple from Old and New Testament, because this area The land area was known as Galilee, but that sea has been called different things at different times. But for our purposes, Sea of Galilee, and that's what Daly has in his atlas. Sea of Galilee is ringed by mountains. The mountains get 1,200 feet, almost 1,300 feet in certain peaks. It's a lake that's 13 miles top to bottom, about 7.5 miles east-west, left to right. It's not, you know, a gigantic lake, but it's significant. It's fed by the Jordan River. The Jordan River starts up here in the mountains up in here. This is close to what we know as Lebanon in modern times, near Syria, really near Lebanon. And then the Jordan River flows into it, and the Jordan River flows out of it. As well as, if it's ringed by mountains, what else does it have as far as water? Rains fall on the mountains, and what does the rain do? Can you think of Hurricane Helene? The rain all runs down the mountains, right? Okay. So the Sea of Galilee is really has a lot of fresh water running into it. The Jordan River, as well as the seasonal rains, they're not year-round, they're seasonal, that flow into the Jordan, into that Jordan River Valley and flow in the Sea of Galilee. The water is very fresh, and there's great fishing there. Great fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Does all this make sense biblically? Okay?
Isn't it also below sea level?
That's Dead Sea. Jordan River's above sea, okay? And the mountains above it are really high. So you think about it this way. If you got a Sea of Galilee, it's really a giant lake, is what it is, and mountains all around it, you would expect there to be unusual weather to take place on that sea. Winds coming off those mountains, right? See how that factors in. Again, we're dipping into the New Testament a little bit. And then, speaking of the Jordan River, here's the Jordan River Valley, sometimes called the Jordan Rift. Just the name they have for it. It runs from up in the mountains here and through the Sea of Galilee and down into the Dead Sea. The northern part of the Jordan River Valley is fairly green. It has quite a bit of vegetation. But as you go south and the elevation drops, it gets more barren. And so there's more vegetation in the upper Jordan Valley, less down in here. And this is probably the area that John the Baptist worked in. Again, dipping in the New Testament, and it was more barren. You get that idea that he's out in the middle of nowhere. And the Jordan River Valley has these mountains to the west and has this elevated plateau we'll talk about in just a second to the east. Has a lot of tributaries. It doesn't show you all the tributaries, but there's a lot of them. But most of these tributaries are not like our streams and creeks and rivers. They're what you call wadis, which means there's a dry season, and in the dry season, they completely dry up. They're nothing but a dry creek bed. And then they fill up when there's the rainy season. And so the Jordan River can really vary in its how much water it has, how much capacity water it has. And then there's the Dead Sea down here, which is way, way down here. It is 1,310 feet below sea level. It's the lowest place on earth on land. On land is the lowest spot on earth. And so it's a very desolate area. And it's sort of just a tourist attraction more than anything else nowadays. And then we have this eastern plateau, and I put mountains there again. These mountains don't get as high, but there is a steep drop-off from these mountains here into the Jordan River Valley. But then as you go east, it flattens out. This, I don't know, Ken and Sandy have to help me on this, but I've only been through Colorado one time. But I remember that with Colorado. When you're going into Colorado from the east, you're going up in elevation, but it's a gentle rise, right? Next thing you know, like, you see those mountains in Colorado, and you're like, wow, we're close to the mountains, and you drive another 6 hours. But you can tell that you're going up in elevation. Denver's a mile high, but there really aren't any mountains east of Denver. Am I right, Ken? Help me out, Ken. Okay, thank you. Okay? So it's a plateau. It's high in elevation, but it's a plateau. And there are some areas here in the Appalachians that are plateaus that are near mountains. It's elevated, but it levels out. And so if you're standing in the Jordan River Valley and you look this way, you'll see mountains. But by the time you get up there and head east, like toward the Arabian Desert, the mountain peaks sort of play out and it's just a plateau, but it's high in elevation. So, and there are some tribes that like that area and they want to stay there. We'll talk about that next week. Okay, you got those? I think there's 9 of them. Any questions on that? Oh, it is below sea level? How much? Not much, is it? Okay, I stand corrected on that. Thank you. I stand corrected on that. Wow. I mean, that's nothing compared to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is a lot deeper. Because there's vegetation around the Sea of Galilee. All right, anything else? Any questions, observations? Okay. There's no way like knowing a map. There's no way to know a map than to make a map. You knew it was coming, okay? So, on the back of your sheet, you have these directions. I'm going to put you at a table with some partners. I want you to take this piece of cardboard and outline Canaan. You can use your atlas. Pages 10 and pages 19 are really good for that. Take blue markers and color in the water, Jordan River, Sea of Galilee, etc. Make an indention for the Jordan River Valley. Like take one of the caps of the markers and push the cardboard in, or if you have a key, and key it and make an indention. All these things just help to put Velcro on your brain to catch this stuff. Okay? Then I've got some wood blocks and I've got a couple things of glue around, and I would like for you to create the Central Highlands with these blocks. They're little ones and big ones. You don't need very many, but just take the glue and stack these right here in the middle. See the cross section to create the Judean Hill Country, the Central Highlands. And then since the plateau to the east of the Jordan flattens out, here's another piece of cardboard to lay on the east side of the Jordan River. You may want to take some of these little blocks and put some mountains there, and have the Jordan River here, and then have the Eastern Plateau to the east of the Jordan River. I'll come around and help you. I'm going to have these little blocks right up here on this table. Everything else you have that you need, there's some glue here and some glue here. You'll need to share it. Okay. Thank you. Wrap this up, everybody. So we'll use these for review next week. If you want to, after we finish tonight, you can go around and look at other people's.